It's a good morning to you and welcome to Tech Ego. Thank you very much for tuning in. I actually personally received some encouraging comments yesterday. I actually used to be afraid of being somebody seeing my face because I grew up knowing I was the ugliest in the environment. So some of those creatures. But thank you very much for taking time to, of course, listen and stream live on our Facebook page, not only on Tech Ego, but on all the programs that are running through this great number one talk radio station. And today we finish off with the issue of the tech, on looking at it from the conflict. We are now trying to discuss the possible no-fly zone in Ukraine. On Saturday or Sunday, the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, called on NATO to introduce a no-fly zone in Ukraine. And of course, the Polish president or prime minister also said that they would want to give Ukrainians some aircraft, some warplanes. They have their own warplanes that they will give to the Ukrainians. But then they want to transfer them to a U.S. air base in Germany so that the Ukrainian pilots can be flying them. Now, the British and the U.K. and the U.S. officials have come up strongly, putting their foot down, their feet down, saying, a no-fly zone where? In Ukraine. Ah, no, that one is a no-go. That one is out of the table. And last week, the U.S. Secretary of State, that is Anthony Blinken, when he was visiting Poland, he made it clear that no NATO soldier or U.S. soldier will be in on the ground in Ukraine. So that's number one. Number two, no NATO aircraft or whatsoever will be involved in the combat in Ukraine. Now, let me give you a bit of a history of a no-fly zone. A no-fly zone is a process where there is an air limitation. And it's mostly introduced when there's conflict and there are two parties fighting, then the other party is battering the other. And it's mostly introduced to protect civilians. So no-fly zone means you create a zone to say if you fly in this airspace, we shoot the plane down automatically. So it's automatic. They'll be shooting them down. They will intercept you. They would intercept the plane and then shoot it down. So that's what the no-fly zone means. So shooting it down means fighting. So the Polish government made a suggestion, but then when it went into Washington, they debated it for 3 hours. I think it was said yesterday or Tuesday. It was said on Monday. No, it was said on Tuesday. And by yesterday, we got the information clearly that a no-fly zone was not possible. So a no-fly zone was not possible because that would mean shooting down or intercepting and shooting down Russian aircrafts. So when you intercept and shoot it down, that means it is war. So it is now direct war. It is no longer going to be a war between Ukraine and Russia. It is also not going to be a war between Poland and Russia. That is going to be a war between NATO and Russia. So, and what will that mean? Connecting to what we were saying yesterday, of people have fears of possible internet shutdown, possible global internet shutdown. What were we talking about yesterday? So that will be expensive, because that will mean World War III. Okay? So that will mean World War III. When one Russian aircraft is shot down by the Ukrainian army themselves, that is going to be better, because then the Ukrainian army will get what they can get as a retaliation from the Russians. And that will be a little bit better. But if NATO gets in, that will mean both nuclear and cyber war. And that is going to be deadliest, more deadlier than what is going on right now. So that is going to be suicidal, and no country wants to do that. So let me now give you a bit of a small history on where no-fly zones were used in the past. In 1991, when the Americans left Iraq, let me just get the year properly. Okay. The first Gulf War, when the U.S. left, when they withdrew from Iraq in 1991, Saddam Hussein then used his aircraft that were left in the war to crash some Shiites and Kurds in the north. So, then the U.S. introduced, that was in the south, sorry, it's not in the north, that was in the south, the Shiites in the south, in cities like Basra, and the Kurds in the north. So Americans then, they put a no-fly zone, which means aircraft, U.S. warplanes were patrolling the Shiites' places or areas, the Shiites and Kurdish areas. So they were putting the Iraqi planes away. So if any Iraqi planes encroaches, they will just shoot it down, because you know that there is a no-fly zone introduced. So the moment you encroach in that airspace where there is a barrier, they will just shoot you down without warning. Or maybe they can give you warning to say, hey, you are coming closer. Remember, there is a no-fly zone here, and you keep coming until you engage into a shoot out. You either shoot them down or they shoot you down, if you are really determined to go further. So that is what the Ukrainian president is asking, and also the Prime Minister Mikhail Fedorov is asking for a no-fly zone. In Yugoslavia, in the 90s, between 1993 and 1995, NATO also introduced a no-fly zone of so the NATO also mounted a similar effort in 1993 or between 1993 and 1994, 1995, in the country that was called Yugoslavia. So, that was, it was during those uprising in 1993, 1995, if you remember the uprising in Yugoslavia. And of course, Yugoslavia was dissolved when the recognition of Kosovo as a republic. Now, I think we have Kosovo is, Yugoslavia ended with Slobodan Milosevic when he was captured in 1999 by the NATO, NATO forces. So, and in 2011, there was a no-fly zone in Libya. So there was a no-fly zone in Libya, and there was also a no-fly zone in Iraq. When the U.S. went in there, they put a no-fly zone, and any Iraqi plane that would try to take off, they shoot it down. It would be shot down from takeoff. So that was a technology easy to be mounted on Yugoslavia, on Iraq, on Libya, because these countries don't really have technology to retaliate or to they don't have enough mechanisms in place to retaliate. So it was easy. Now for Russia, it will be expensive because you are dealing with a superpower. So you need to do a lot. You need to have a lot of investments into somewhat of a technology that must supersede the abilities and the capabilities, military capabilities of the Russians for you to be able to be successful, to have an upper hand in the airspace. And that is very expensive. So that is very expensive because for you to really have an upper hand in the Ukrainian airspace, you need a lot of money. And I want to tell you that the Afghanistan war has left a lot of military contractors dead. Almost 3,000 military contractors died in Afghanistan, if the figures are correct. And over 2,000 U.S. soldiers died there. And not only that, the cost of the whole war was $3 trillion U.S. dollars. And none of the countries in Africa has a GDP to that level. So that's almost the GDP of U.K. So that's almost the GDP of the United Kingdom. That's, you know, none in Africa has $3 trillion as a GDP, $3 trillion U.S. dollars. So that was the cost of Afghanistan war, and the American left that war after 20 years. So that's how expensive no-fly zone is. So the Ukrainian prime minister and president cried the whole of last week, to the point that they went to say any person that is going to die now is going to be in your hands, you NATO, because of your weakness. You are weak. So you are weak. You do not want to introduce a no-fly zone in Ukraine. But other leaders are saying, look, guys, a no-fly zone in Ukraine will be more deadlier to us. It will be costly. And we can't afford that war. And if I want to tell you that psychologically, no country in Europe is ready to fight a war. Financially, No country in Europe is ready to fight a war. So, militarily, maybe yes, but morally, no. So if you look at those scales, number one, psychologically, nobody's prepared for a war. Financially, nobody's prepared for a war. And morally, nobody is prepared for the war. In 2003, America reported that 300 to 400 soldiers went mental because of war trauma. They went mental 3 days into the invasion. 400 soldiers went mental. So nobody in Europe, the Americans also can get into something of a war, but they are also not prepared because the world has just is just recovering from a pandemic that has severed economies almost into pieces. So if you are to add with a war, a direct confrontation, for that matter, with Russia, that is going to be more costly, and more, the damage will actually exceed what the lockdowns has impacted on the world economy. And most of us are excited when we see, oh, whether you are pro-Russian or anti-Russia, you are excited when you see soldiers marching. But it is now getting into pockets of consumers, especially those who have cars. It is now getting into pockets, or into their pockets, because now they have to pay heavily at the petrol pump. They have to pay heavily. And none of the countries in Europe have a solution after banning Russian imports of oil. None of them have a solution to the problem. Of course, Venezuela, they are working on stepping into the production, but they have the world's largest oil reserve, but in terms of capacity, they don't have, and they cannot meet, or they cannot fill the gap that Russia is now created. So it will take time. It will take time. And OPEC countries, none of them want to open their gates wide to deplete their oil. So it's a predicament. So the technology of a no-fly zone, of course, the Western countries have the means to do that. They have the means to create a no-fly zone and shoot down one or two Russian aircraft. But the Russians also have the means to retaliate. And when they retaliate, that is going to bypass Ukraine. And then even Zelensky himself will not know where to run to, because that is going to be too much of a fire. Nobody will rescue the other. It is going to be both nuclear, cyber, and all that war. So it's dangerous. Right. Now, can tech companies participate into diplomatic solution or creating platforms for diplomacy? Yes, they can. But from what we are seeing now, a lot of tech companies are swayed, they become political, and then it became pro-Russia, anti-Russia thing. To the point that two board members of Huawei have resigned. Two board members of Huawei have resigned. I'll bring you that report tomorrow. Because they wanted Huawei to say something against Russia. But Huawei is like this. Because, I mean, if Apple is moving out, if Microsoft is moving out, what a blessing. So what a blessing. If Apple is moving out, Microsoft is moving out, TikTok is moving out, what a blessing. So how do you expect Huawei to side the Americans now if yesterday Huawei was banned from supplying 5G equipment in Europe? Can they make that U-turn very quickly? I don't think so. They will count this as a blessing. The one person's loss is one person's gain here. Right, it is 28 minutes to 12. If you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number. Do you think a no-fly zone is a solution here? Do you agree with a no-fly zone? So what are your views? I just gave you what a no-fly zone is and the impact it will have on in the world, not only in terms of human loss and human suffering, in terms of economic loss and the destruction of tech infrastructures. So, are you of a view that there must be at least a no-fly zone? Because yesterday, a hospital was hit that they call a maternal hospital in Mariupol was hit and 17 people are said to have been injured. But then the Russian army says that this hospital was used to launch attacks against the Russians. That's why it was bombed. So it was just one explosion that ripped it, the whole building, into rubbles. So, but they are saying it is a maternal, it is a maternal hospital. So, one would really argue to say, I think this justifies a no-fly zone, because civilian infrastructures are being hit. But, well, in Iraq, the Americans hit a wedding. In Afghanistan, they also hit a place where there was a wedding and people died. Eagle FM.
Yes, good morning, son.
Morning.
Yeah. No, for me, really, I do support the NATO countries not to be involved into that war, because that is what really you can see that Russia is looking for. He's trying to drag those NATO countries into that war. And also, I think the president of Ukraine, he was misled also by the Westerns. Yeah, and that's why he was really, you know, of a stand that he wants to defend his country and to fight for it. Only when he started seeing that Biden is not even doing all what he was ever talking, and other countries were not, they are willing to give support of material, but not human capacity. And which is a good thing, really, because if that war become a said war, whatever, we are just going to be, you know, also affected. And it's already affecting us. Be it is very far away, it is still affecting us, our pockets and our lives. So it is really a good thing if the next country Muslims involved at all. Yeah, I support the idea that is on the table.
All right.
Because we can't afford the war anymore. We are just coming out of that corona that have, you know, shaken us, all of us.
Right.
Yeah. Let's hope that the war really ends, because when fuel goes up, then everything is just, you know, pressurizing our lives.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much, ma'am.
Welcome, sir.
Right. 0832 3.401. Is Russia the one trying to draw NATO into the conflict? Or is this not the pot that NATO kept cooking? Well, it depends on which angle you are looking at it from. Maybe they both were cooking a pot. So now everybody just has to eat the soup. Eagle FM.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
You are listening to yourself. Can you
Yes. My contribution is, I think the president of Ukraine is the right time just for him to give up, and because the no-fly zone to be very provoking, to be a provoke to Putin. It will be a very big provocation.
Okay.
I think he must just give up and the Russians also, if he just surrender, then it will be in the interest of his people, because from the look of things, if the things would be more worse if those Americans get involved on those that matter.
Okay.
That's my contribution.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying that maybe the president must just give up. You see, this whole issue of Russia attacking Ukraine, it really caught the world by surprise. We just woke up February 24, Friday. The Russian has already, they are landing in Kiev itself. So which means the Ukrainian Air Force was already getting depleted by the eight-year war. The army was already getting weary by the eight-year exercise in the east. So Putin took advantage of the fact that the Ukrainian army was already tired. And for the first 3 days, and of course this week, the first 7 days, the Russian army, that the convoy that was heading to Moscow, to Kiev, seemed not to be moving. And the people celebrated that the Russians were running out of supplies. And when I, with my little mind, the tiny mind and tiny understanding, as far as military is concerned, I found out that it was just a psychological war. You know, when you beef up a column of tanks and armored vehicles and heavy artillery machineries, you line them up. It creates a certain psychological sensation to somebody. And then you start to throw people into a panic that when you attack, you have already defeated their morale. So that is my tiny understanding. I don't know whether it is correct. Iker FM.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, the issue of no-fly zone.
Hmm.
Remember, you have said in Libya there was a no-fly zone. But why was it not in Syria?
No. The Syrians were not really using air force. I mean, they were not really using air power. They were more concentrating on infantry and, of course, ground operation.
Yeah, apparently they wanted. It's only that the Russians, they brought in the SS-400. The S-400, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was later on. Remember, the uprising started in...
No, I understand. Yes, yeah. I know. It is after when the Russians intervened.
Yeah, because the by 2013... I think by 2015, the Syrian army was getting depleted and they were getting, they were losing a lot of, cities.
Exactly. Only Damascus was left, yes. So then the Russian came in, they introduced the no-fly zone, even if nobody's saying it. The American, they don't fly without notifying the American, I mean the Russian. So, the same applies now here. I think it is impossible, practically impossible for NATO to introduce a no-fly zone in Ukraine. So the Russian has deployed already the S-400 around. How can they? There will be, as just you put it, that it will be a settlement between the NATO and the Russia, no longer between Ukraine and the other. Another thing is this one. I have heard the Russian bombard yesterday in Mariupol, the hospital.
Yeah, they hit a maternity hospital in Mariupol.
But you know why? Almost of these things happened because the Ukraine they fight. I mean they fire from the community. They hide within the community.
And yeah, because the Ukrainian army is not fighting conventional war. They are fighting. They are using guerrilla tactics. They are hitting and running.
And they are running into the hospital, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what the Russians are saying. We cannot say yes or no in terms of confirming it as far as the truth is concerned.
Yeah, but those things happened in Afghanistan. It happens in Iraq. It happens everywhere. Yeah, but the issue remains, there won't be no fly zone. I think it won't be established there by NATO. It will be too dangerous. And France, remember, was it last month? I think it was in January. Did Russia shoot down a certain her own satellite, an old one?
Yeah, they shot down. They were testing. I think they were testing a space missile.
Exactly. What is the reason?
They shot their old satellites something down.
Those were the preparation for that, just to let them know that they have the capacity. And remember, this war, if it comes, it has to be, the most way to be effective is to use internet. And then internet, if the satellites are shut down, how are you going to fight it? So some people, they don't really understand. And Zelensky maybe is also correct because he was ruled in that position by the West. But later on, probably they miscalculated or they wanted just that conflict to be among the Russian and the Ukrainian because they are almost the same people. I don't know. But I think the issue of no fly zone, it won't be there. In terms of capacity, it will be disastrous.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Right. You can do the same 083-238-401. That's a number in studio. The Syrian issue by 2011 when they started, and 4 years, at least 3 years, by 2015, the Syrian army was losing because what was going on was you had the Free Syrian Army at the other side, supported by the Americans and, of course, the Western. Then you have the ISIL coming in also, hitting both the government and the Free Syrian Army, creating havoc and taking small cities like the city of Raqqa. And Aleppo also fell to the Free Syrian Army. And that's when the Syrian government asked for the Russian to help them. And then, of course, the Russians came in with some Iranian-backed Hezbollah, that's Lebanon-based, U.S.-designated terrorist group that was fighting alongside the Syrian army. That's a government army. So, and yeah, there was a bit of a no-fly zone there. That's why the Turkish actually shot down one of the Russian planes, which they had to really dearly paid for. They paid for it. And of course, there was an agreement of a de-escalation zone where they inform each other that, okay, we are flying on this one because the Russians had an upper hand in the Syrian airspace. Just to give a bit of a background there, but you can read this out. It's on domains. But 0832-3401. Let's hear you. Eagle FM.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Yeah, the flight joined like the other city, that will not happen because none of those NATO country want to take that responsibility. I was listening to the former NATO commander, Ben Hodge or whatever. And he was saying
Is he the one that is based in Spain?
Yeah, it could be that one. He was a former NATO commander.
His family. Yeah.
So he was saying that, yes, even if they do that, I don't know, even Poland was saying that, not Poland, but one of the countries. So they are saying that if one of the countries agree that, yes, maybe those jets, will now land from, say, one of those countries, NATO country. And that country will be the one to suffer. Because he was saying now that, yes, none of those countries will actually agree to permit their own country to be, let's say, a launching zone. And that would be really strategic, disastrous. So even, I think I was already reading here, Germany saying that they are not sending their war ship in Russia. Ukraine. So maybe they have changed their way because they were saying that they were going to pump a lot of things there, apart from now humanitarian assistance. But as far as the warship is concerned, they said no. I don't know why they have changed. So even the UK and the British, they are all saying that they won't get involved there directly fiscally, except sending war materials and all these things to Ukraine. So they have actually left them there stranded. So, and the other thing is that some of the BRICS country, I cannot confirm this one, but it has been talked about, that they are now getting in. Like you saying, if you create a gap there, the revival will come in. You create a gap, they come in. Because it's an opportunity, even in terms of investment, economic growth. So, I don't know, and Russia is threatening them that it's going to close the taps to all those, maybe not a country, but we are saying Europe. So, if he does that, and if he has the possibility to do that, that means Russia is very, very accommodating, very tolerant. Because he might have done that one already, but he's just threatening to do it now. I don't know how sustainable it will be. So just the war zone will not happen because the Russians, they are already, anyone that fly all over closer there is down.
All right, Uncle Ban. Right. Yes, we get to hear your views here. What do you think? Because you are also following, and you might even have better views than any analyst. You are also following. It's 9 minutes to 12 before I go. I say goodbye. 9 minutes. All right. So the Ukrainian issue is very delicate. It's delicate to the point that businesses are becoming, they are torn apart. Technology companies are also torn apart. This, so it has actually laid the difference between East and West. Who goes East? Who goes West? Eagle FM.
Yeah, good day, Mr. Franz.
Yes, how are you?
I'm Franz, how's yourself?
Good.
Yeah, mine is just a short reply to the question on a no-fly zone.
Yes.
I think one should answer it by means of a question. Does the president of Ukraine want to the NATO as a proxy to fight its war?
Mm.
Simply because if he was really a president and he knows the history of the East and the West, he would have thought, for instance, about the Day of the Pigs in Cuba.
Mm.
What did the United States do? He should have thought today in Palestine what is happening. And he should know that the politics that he wants to follow is endangering his people simply because of the same NATO. If NATO was not there, there would not have been any war. I think this is something that we should think about. I will leave it at that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very critical question, and I don't think I can answer it. What does Zelensky really want? Let's go back to 2014. Poroshenko also wanted the same thing because the Ukrainian army was ravaging the pro-Russian separatists in the east. And then the Russians thought, no, maybe let's get in, let's get involved. And otherwise, NATO was also threatening that if Russia does anything, there'll be sanctions. So Poroshenko got in there, and he actually, for 3 weeks, he thought that NATO would come in, and Obama was busy threatening, just like Biden is doing now, giving Poroshenko a bit of some energy. And then 6 weeks in the war, Poroshenko realizes that NATO is nowhere closer to deploying any army or any soldiers to fight the war. So that repeated itself because it's a supply of material, or that is resources in terms of equipment. But the people that have the conscripts, which means anybody who wakes up as you can wake up today and you get an AK-47 to go to the front without knowledge of any military at all. And these people, most of them are reserved. They are reserved because the Ukrainian government asked for any man from 18 to 60 to stay behind. So you are only safe if you are 17. Now, The Russian army last week said they are not going to allow any conscript to fight this war. They want professional army. So they want professional soldiers, well-trained soldiers. So that's where you see the difference. The other side is desperation, and this other side, you don't know whether to call it provocative or it's an aspiration. So I'm choosing my words here because I'm afraid of being drawn into pro this and that. So it's a situation that caught Europe by surprise, because most Europeans thought that war is only in Afghanistan, is only in Syria, and also war is for uncivilized like Africans. You guys are the ones that take guns to fight. But now, war is in Europe itself. So war is in Europe itself. Just like people from the rest of the continent believed that diseases are only in Africa, until COVID-19 showed up and Trump himself found himself in the hospital, including Boris Johnson. So there are situations that knows no color, knows no geographical location. They know no position. So that's the situation of the world. And of course, we conclude to say a no-fly zone at this moment. It doesn't matter how many tears Zelensky and Fedorov will cry. Europe or NATO or America at this stage will never introduce a no-fly zone in Ukraine. And that is two reasons. One, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. That is two reasons. Number one reason that is very important. Two, no country is ready for a direct confrontation with Moscow. So those are two reasons why there will be why the no-fly zone is impossible. Two fundamental reasons. One, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. So the attack one, attack all policy will not work for Ukraine. Sending armaments is not a new thing. It has been done. The Americans have sent weaponries to a lot of revolts. They have sent money. They have given aid to a lot of revolts and uprisings. So that's not new. That does not really mean that because people are sending you weapons, they are with you. No, if somebody with you comes physically, if somebody wants to show that we are with you, it's not like a person who is throwing a bottle to you. There is a bottle. Take it. Hit him. But a person who is with you jumps the fence and comes inside to say, relax, stay back. Let me deal with him. So no country wants to jump into Ukraine and say, Zelensky, you can drink your coffee, my guy. I'm here. Nobody wants to jump into that, because that means that you are ready to fist with the other person, and that's not possible. So a no-fly zone stands impossible. The Germans have already made it clear that they are not going to send any warplane in Ukraine. So the Americans have already made it clear that no U.S. soldier will touch the ground of Ukraine. The British have already made it clear that a no-fly zone is not even a dream, not even a vision. So it's an impossible. It doesn't matter whatever happens. And they have actually waited to say, no, whatever is happening here is better. So may it again just continue. So, and Zelensky, of course, was offered a safe haven to say, we can rescue you, can come to America or wherever. He refused. He wanted to stay in the country because he wanted to use that position to lobby for countries to stand with him. Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Yes, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing the next topic which is happening on air.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to throw my view and opinion concerning the conflict in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I've just realized is that there are some countries who pursue other countries to get involved in wars. From there, they stay back. It's what I've seen. You know,
have you looked after cattle before?
Yes.
Yeah, there is this boy who is always at the kettle. When you are looking at the kettle, who is always telling you that this boy said this to this, 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 and this to you.
Yes, yes.
And he's the one that organizes, okay, if you cross this line, you are a coward.
Mm-hmm.
If you cross this line, you are a coward.
Yeah.
And then you hit yourself, he stays back.
You see? It's what happened. It's what is happening in this case. And to be honest with you, looking at the current president of Ukraine, I think he did mistakes because really, it's not easy to be a president. You don't have much. I think maybe he doesn't have much experience in these things. He was doing another thing, and then he got interested in politics and then he joined. So compared to the current president of Russia, who has vast experience, he has been there. He knows what he's doing. He has been, since maybe he was young, he has been doing those things. Remember, 1973, he has been in Africa for how many long years? Maybe 4 to 5 years, training soldiers for these African countries. So he had been there, you know, what he's doing. So the mistake that he did is to start something that he cannot control, because USA, they know. Russia is not like, it's not a cup of tea, like maybe to wake up and to join. They know the capability of Russians. So they are just speaking of sanction whatsoever. But yes, it will hurt Russia, but what can be done? Currently, civilians are dying, and they are doing even deliberately now. They are even attacking hospitals, maternity hospitals, and schools, because they know no one will come in and intervene the way he thought, the way Zelensky thought, because he went in this thing thinking that his Western allies will come in and help, but they are not doing anything that he's trying to do. They are rejecting it because they know you do anything there, it's like now you are joining the war also. Just imagine, maybe it was a day ago, Polish government got scared to take the plane themselves straight to Ukraine, but they wanted to use USA. You see now, so USA they refused. They said no, we cannot do that. So now it's a matter of responsibility. Who has to go there and help? Just imagine, even the tools, jets that Zelensky asked to go and take to receive. Those guys they are throwing balls to each other. It's you. It's you. It's you. They refused. USA, they refused. They refused even that one we call a no-fly zone, because it's a direct confrontation with Russia. And Russia, mind you, they are threatening, there's this a nuclear already.
All right, my brother, my time is really up.
Okay, thank you very much. This is what I wanted to say. It's a lesson to our leaders. We must not jump in to something that we cannot handle.
All right.
Again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Don't, there's something like swallowing more than what you can, how do they call it? How do they?
Swallowing more than you can chew.
Yeah, swallowing more than you can chew. Yeah, sorry, good morning.
Good morning.
I've already taken enough of your time, so I don't want to sing again.
It sounded like you were having fun. I was even ready to take Envalde out on a date.
Okay. It's good that you are saying it on air.
Wait. No, I'm not denying it. Come on now. Come on now. I'm supposed to be his matchmaker in any case, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, how was your show, though?
No, the show is good, quite controversial.
It was quite controversial. Why? What was the topic for today?
You see, the issue of a no-fly zone in Ukraine.
A no-fly zone?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, you see, a no-fly zone is a military concept of limiting aircraft from the other side to from flying into a certain designated zone, air zone.
Okay.
So if the countries put a no-fly zone in Ukraine, then that will mean shooting down Russian aircraft or intercepting and shooting them down.
Mm.
And that just means one thing, that they means then direct confrontation between Russia and NATO. So no country is prepared for that.
Wow, that, like I was telling you the last time, that every day this whole situation becomes deeper and deeper. And that, I mean, even if you look at the food prices and the fuel, how it is being affected. And it reminds me of what you were saying, that this is like an economical war. And it's a scary time we're living in. Like somebody was telling me that if you don't have a bicycle, then you'll probably have to start walking, because we are going to be completely affected by all of these restrictions and just how it is progressing. It's kind of a scary thing to watch.
Well, my father has an old car, so that old car, I'm going to just buy new tires and transform it into a modern donkey cart.
I thought you were going to say that, okay, Sally, I will hire you to be my driver. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to hire a donkey. This is what we're talking about. The discrimination.
Horses. We get the horse.
Horsepower or donkey power, ne?
Donkey power. Because that one is cheap labor, Ministry of Labor and International
Relations.
Donkeys
are also stubborn, man. That one you have to, like, convince to wake up and all of those. Natives will come to me for what?
You just have to span them, four of them, four oxen. Then you can reach Okahanja.
Fast donkey power, eh?
Yes.
I'm open to that. I am definitely open to it. So yeah, today we're talking about really just finding a balance, looking at just mental health and in the working environment and, finding the balance between being you and you at the office, and also you that is trying to accomplish your own personal achievements. And sometimes it can get very overwhelming. It can get you to a point where you feel like you have to choose. So today we're kind of having that conversation with she's a self-care enthusiast, if I can call her that. And so she's basically going to be just giving us some ways and some tips and some tools on how to find that balance, So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
All right. Thank you very much. And I wish you a show, awesome one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times, which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken. some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers.
Limit or avoid travel and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Matukirane na po ngeshefa tadirandura ukira ndere omaigo njukwa go walenga eggs. Omaigo walenga eggs otaga adhika po ngeshefa ngashi Dome Dogs, Rani Tradings, Basic Mini Market, Amta, Farmers Market, Oshopo, Face of Fresh Produce. Kuyerere dengira kondura jetatu imwe imwe, mbali heari, ndatu hamano mbali mbali. Walenga eggs, ongushu yago, matokere kamana.
Walenga eggs. The Great White. Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To create that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Mm. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM. The I. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Olium Nangeshifa, Noahara Pushivifa, Oma Kuroyo Kupitira Mohorike Radio Station, Oyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.